Welcome to Prompted, the podcast where we spark imagination one writing prompt at a time. My name is Eric, and I'll be your host on this journey of creative exploration, where the boundaries between words and imagination blur. New episodes of Prompted will be released every Monday, so be sure to tune in each week for fresh inspiration. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or you can listen directly from our website, thepromptedpodcast.org. In each episode, I explore creative writing through in-depth discussions in our deep dive segments. I will also feature my own original poetry and other writing inspired by the writing prompts from the previous week. And to keep it going, I'll share a new writing prompt at the end for you to try. I'd love to see what you're working on. Share your writing with me using the hashtag #PromptedPodcast on Blue Sky. I'm always eager to connect with listeners and hear how the prompts are inspiring you. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's creative writing journey. You know that feeling when you're lost in thought and everything seems to slow down? Maybe it's the gray sky outside or the somber melody playing in your head. Whatever it is, I think we can all agree on one thing. Melancholy is a universal human experience. As a writer, I've always been fascinated by the complex emotions that swirl around melancholy. Sadness, longing, nostalgia. It's as if this feeling is both a curse and a blessing at the same time. On one hand, it can paralyze us with grief and despair. But on the other hand, it can also spark creativity, inspire new ideas, and push us to explore the depths of our own emotions. Throughout history, writers have been drawn to melancholy like moths to a flame. From Shakespeare's tragic heroes to the confessional poetry of Sylvia Plath, melancholy has been a constant theme in literature. But what is it about this feeling that captivates us so? In this deep dive, we'll be exploring the art of melancholy, its many forms, its creative potential, and how writers can tap into their own experiences to craft authentic and nuanced characters. Defining melancholy. So what exactly is melancholy? Is it just a fancy word for sadness, or is there something more to it? One way to approach this question is to think about the different types of melancholy. We might have existential melancholy, that feeling of being lost and disconnected from the world around us. It's like looking up at the stars and wondering if anyone else out there is feeling the same sense of isolation. Then there's traumatic melancholy, the pain and sorrow that lingers after a loss or a tragedy. This type of melancholy can be overwhelming, and it's not always easy to navigate. And finally, we have nostalgic melancholy, that bittersweet longing for something in the past. Maybe it's a childhood memory or a lost love. Whatever it is, it's a reminder that time keeps moving forward, no matter how hard we try to hold on. These different types of melancholy can be complex and nuanced, but they all share one thing in common. They're rooted in our emotions. The power of melancholy. So why do writers often turn to melancholy as a source of inspiration? One reason is that it allows us to tap into our deepest emotions to help create authentic characters. When we're writing about someone who's struggling with existential melancholy, for example, we can draw on our own experiences of feeling lost or disconnected. But what's really powerful about melancholy is that it's not just about being sad. It's about being fully present in the moment. Let's say we're writing about traumatic melancholy. We'll have to confront the pain and sorrow head on. This could be a difficult but ultimately rewarding process because it allows us to explore the complexities of human emotion. And then there's nostalgic melancholy. That bittersweet longing for something in the past. This can be a powerful tool for writers because it allows us to explore themes of loss, memory, and identity. Let's take a closer look at how Shakespeare's Hamlet explores existential melancholy. In this iconic play, we see Hamlet struggling with his own sense of purpose and meaning in life. His famous "to be or not to be" is a classic expression of existential doubt, as he grapples with the idea that life may be nothing more than a meaningless, futile existence. Or consider Sylvia Plath's poetry, which captures the intensity of traumatic melancholy. In her poem, Daddy, for example, she explores the painful legacy of her father's abuse and its impact on her own emotional landscape. By exploring these different types of melancholy in literature, we can gain a deeper understanding of how this complex emotion can be used to create richly nuanced characters and stories. As we've explored throughout this conversation, melancholy is a powerful and complex emotion that can be a rich source of inspiration for writers. We've seen how Shakespeare's Hamlet and Sylvia Plath's poetry explore the complexities of human emotion and how these works continue to resonate with readers today. We've also discussed how writers use melancholy as a way to process their own emotions and experiences and to make sense of the world around them. While melancholy may be a difficult emotion to confront, it can also be a catalyst for creativity and growth. By embracing this complex and multifaceted emotion, we can create works that are truly memorable and impactful. I hope you've enjoyed this conversation about melancholy, and I encourage you to continue exploring this fascinating emotion in your own writing and creative pursuits. Let's turn our attention to some original poetry that I'm excited to share. Here are three poems that are a result of fantastic writing prompts over the last week or so. Each one a unique reflection of the creative sparks that have ignited within me. The first poem comes from the word prompt, gossamer, a word that carries the weight of something delicate, fleeting, and barely there. When I started writing this poem, I was drawn to the idea of memory and how some memories feel like our own, but come with a strange, unplaceable familiarity. I wanted to explore that eerie edge, the sense of something brushing past but never quite letting itself be caught. They drift in, spun from silence, soft as a sigh against the skin. I do not call them, yet they come. Whispers in dust, voices in lace, sunlit curtains swaying slow. I trace the edges, unravel seams, but they slip. Spider silk in dawn's first breath, never meant to be held. Yet they cling, gossamer fine, nestled in bone, naming me with voices not my own. The second poem comes from the word prompt, velveteen. There's something fascinating about velveteen. It lives in the in-between, softening with time, carrying the marks of touch and memory. That sense of becoming, between past and future, between silk and velvet, between who we were and who we are, is what shaped this piece. I am something in between, not yet velvet, deep with knowing, not quite threadbare, but getting there, soft in ways I never planned. I am velveteen, half magic, half memory, stitched with stories, frayed with touch, softer, wiser, loved too much. The third poem comes from the word prompt, bounce. At first glance, it's a word full of energy, something light, playful, full of movement. But in writing, words have weight, and sometimes the heaviest ideas hide in the ones we least expect. Existential melancholy isn't just about sadness. It's about questioning motion itself. Are we resilient, or are we just in free fall? This poem wrestles with that tension, the question that lingers when everything stops. We rise, we fall. Call it resilience, call it inertia. Who's keeping score? Flung, dropped, thrown again. If I don't bounce, am I broken? Now, let's dive into some brand new, freshly crafted microtales that have been simmering in my creative cauldron. These three original microfiction pieces are the result of some excellent writing prompts for the last week or so. I hope you enjoy. This first microfiction piece is inspired by the word prompt, luggage. I wanted to explore the idea of a forgotten, abandoned suitcase as a symbol of something much deeper. Perhaps a lost opportunity, a dream that never materialized, or even a haunting reminder of what could have been. The writing style draws on a noir atmosphere, weaving together melancholy and introspection, with a touch of dark humor and suspense. Here is The Unclaimed. The rain was falling in sheets, turning the train platform into a shimmering, half-lit hallucination. Water pooled in the cracks between the tiles, reflecting neon signs from the street beyond, warping their glow into something unsteady, feverish. The clock overhead flickered between 2:13 and 2:14 a.m., like it couldn't make up its mind, its mechanical hum barely audible over the downpour. And then there was the suitcase. Black leather, worn at the edges, beaded with rain, sitting dead center beneath the dim glow of the departure board. No one near it, no claim to its existence, just waiting, watching, daring someone to take notice. The scent of damp wool and stale cigarette smoke clung to the air around it, like ghosts of travelers long gone. I told myself to keep walking. The last thing I needed was to get tangled in some lost luggage situation. But something in my gut twisted the way it does when you realize you've forgotten something important, like your keys, or your name, or the exact moment your life went off the rails. So I stopped. The rain drummed against my shoulders. My jacket grew heavier with every second. I edged forward, hands in my pockets like I could pretend I wasn't interested. The tag was curled at the edges, ink smudged from years of handling, but the initials were unmistakable. My initials. A slow exhale ghosted past my lips, visible in the cold night air. My brain kicked against itself, searching for the logical answer. Maybe someone had the same initials. Maybe it was a coincidence. I knelt, fingers numb, and popped the latches. The universe let out a long, slow laugh at my expense. Inside, neatly folded, was a life I never lived. A ticket to New Orleans, dated 3 years ago. A battered copy of a book I once promised myself I'd read on a long train ride, its pages still crisp, untouched. The scent of old paper and leather curled up from its spine. A letter I had written 100 times in my head, but never dared put to paper. The ink slightly blurred, as if my hesitation had seeped into it. A coat I once imagined throwing over my shoulders as I walked away from everything, but had never actually owned. It smelled faintly of cedar and something else. Something like memory. The rain pounded harder, pressing in like the night itself. My breath thinned. The platform stretched, warped, a tunnel I'd been lost in for too long. The sodium lights above buzzed, flickering, their glow stuttering like a dying heartbeat. This wasn't a forgotten suitcase. It was an accusation, a reminder of an escape that never happened. I stood there as the past bled out of an old leather case, dripping into the cracks between the tiles. The distant wail of a train whistle cut through the night, low and mournful, carrying a promise or a warning. The train to nowhere roared in the distance, headlights cutting through the mist, the kind of train you either board without hesitation or spend the rest of your life wondering if you should have. The suitcase lingered, waiting, as if it knew something I didn't. I closed the latches. The metal clicked, final, like a door shutting on something I'd never quite outrun. And I walked away. The second microfiction piece comes from the word prompt, seismic. At first, it might bring to mind destruction, something sudden, something violent. But for this piece, I wanted to explore a different kind of shift, not the kind that topples buildings, but the kind that unsettles memory. This story is steeped in nostalgic melancholy, that feeling of standing in a place once filled with life, now quiet, yet still holding echoes of what was. The rusted carousel stood silent until the ground shuddered. Cassidy swayed, breath hitching, a seismic whisper, deep and distant. Then the horses moved, slow and spectral, no wind, no power, just the past creaking back to life. In this third piece, a non-fiction reflection titled Caught in the Loop, I'm working with two writing prompts from two different sources. The first word prompt is thread. The second word prompt is cadence. At its heart, this piece isn't just about the creative process. It is the creative process in motion. It's basically me caught in the loop of trying to figure out what to do with these two writing prompts, wrestling with the possibilities, and questioning how best to shape them into something meaningful. It's the internal struggle of every writer, the back and forth of inspiration and hesitation, the pressure to find the right way to say what we're trying to say. All right, so thread. Thread, thread, thread. What is a thread? Is it literally a string of words that ties everything together? Or is it something more abstract, like the thread of an idea that stretches thin, ready to snap at any second? Could be both. Or maybe it's the things that connect us, the unspoken things, like when someone says, yeah, but you can feel all the other things they want to say through just that one word. Okay. Then cadence, that's rhythm, timing, how things fall into place, the pace of something, of words, of silence, of action. It's the sound of things. What kind of cadence should this piece have? What's the pacing like when you're just thinking? Not talking, but just processing. That space between thoughts, like the way you can hear your own pulse in your head when things go quiet. Does that count as cadence? I don't know. Maybe it's not even about creating a story here. Maybe it's just about capturing the essence of that moment. The pause, the thread of thought, the cadence of hesitation. Maybe it's the quiet between the words that says everything. But that could be too abstract, right? People need something concrete, something to hang on to. I can't just write about silence. No. Maybe it's about the tension of waiting for the words to come. The pressure that silence stretching tighter and tighter. I'm excited to share my own take on the writing prompt from episode 7, which was, I can explain, but you won't believe me. So without further ado, here is my poetic response. It started with a sock, gone from the line, vanished mid-flap. Then the spoons, one by one, slipping into nothing. The cat won't meet my eyes, her tail flicks secrets, she knows. And the wind, it calls my name, soft, insistent, like it's trying to warn me. I know what you'll say. I'm tired. I'm careless. I need sleep. But this morning, I found footprints on the ceiling, small ones, circling, waiting. I can explain, but you won't believe me. And that was my poetic take on I Can Explain, But You Won't Believe Me. Now, here's my microfiction response. The raccoon on the lake waved pitifully, stranded in a rented canoe. I turned to Dave. We need to rescue him. He squinted. We? I sighed, rubbing my neck. He used my ID. Silence. The water lapped against the boat, carrying him farther. Dave exhaled. Explain. I watched the ripples. I can, but you won't believe me. I hope you enjoyed those. Now, for this week, we have the writing prompt concept of the Department of Lost Things. As always, I invite you to share your prompt response with me on Blue Sky using the hashtag PromptedPodcast. That's all one word. And I'll feature a few random submissions in the next episode. I can't wait to see what creativity ignites within you. Happy writing! Thank you for listening to another episode of Prompted, where we spark imagination one writing prompt at a time. Be sure to tune in each week for fresh inspiration. You can subscribe on our website, thepromptedpodcast.org, or find us on your favorite podcast platform.